This is the Sportscast, March 24th, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online radio 24/7. And you can also get our app, The Sportscast. Visit our website, thesportscast.net. March Madness Sweet 16 is underway. Couple surprises, couple obvious. The games are getting tighter. Overtime, one overtime game yesterday. And join us all the way from Phoenix, Arizona, Nicholas Heldell, a familiar face to the Sportscast. Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you so much, Santiago, for having me again. Just a huge day of college hoops yesterday. That was one of the better Sweet 16 days I've seen in quite a few years with this, of some of the action. So a lot of fun.
Which team surprised you the most so far?
Within this entire tournament, I think that answer is Florida Atlantic. Coming into this season, way back in November, I kind of hunched that FAU might be on something for huge improvement, just based on the fact that they had a lot of their guys improving. But never in my wildest dreams could I imagine an Elite Eight for the Owls. I mean, they have played so well. And yes, they did have to get through a 16 seed to get to the second weekend in the first place. We understand that just comes with the way to the tournament. But, you know, they beat a pretty darn good Memphis team in the first round, taking out Tennessee last night and just kind of doing what Tennessee does and kind of playing really well, hanging around and gaining with a really typical run from them. They have been in an unbelievable place. And it's so good to see programs like that have historic runs for their program. And this is FAU team is certainly one that could have an interesting time with Kansas State. I don't know if they'll win that game, but they're going to give that a darn good fight.
Yeah, you can never predict these things. Sometimes a small school can for sure go deep. What's your thoughts on FDS this tournament?
Yeah, I certainly
Farley
think
Dickinson.
Farley Dickinson. Yeah, I mean, they did about as good as I could have hoped or anyone could have hoped for. I mean, obviously taking out Purdue, kind of throwing a few different things at Purdue that when Purdue's in that Big Ten conference and getting tested by a lot of similar schemes, they're not kind of used to the things that other teams may throw at them because they've been away from it for a few months. And certainly Farley Dickinson did as good of a job as they can to kind of throw Purdue off. And I certainly think FDU was gifted a little bit by just how the way Purdue played, relying on a couple of freshman guards who had never been in the tournament. Typically that'll work, but didn't really work. I mean, guard play is what wins in March. And, you know, Purdue, they kind of gave everyone a glimpse of what they could be with Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer, but that big question was always going to be their first experience in the Big Dance, how they're going to deal with it, didn't quite end up so well. And you know, I think about FDU, so many props. I mean, if it weren't for a transition rule that kept Merrimack out of the tournament, as teams have to go through a four-year process to transition to Division I to gain access to NCAA postseason events, Merrimack was in their very last year of that. And so Farley Dickinson got that job done by being the better team in the NEC to come out of it. It's a great story. It's one of those stories that it's so unique to college basketball and why I love this sport so much.
Yeah, college basketball, especially March Madness, is so unpredictable. But we'll get toward the end, see what Nick believes will win this tournament. I heard Alan was in Alabama. We'll see what Nick will have to say. That Alan from the our other show, the Top 25 Rundown. All right, so yesterday, the biggest game I thought was overtime. Kansas State beating Michigan State 98-93 and a spectacular performance by guard Marquise Knoll, 20 points, but the guy was just conducting the game. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a single game tournament record, 19 assists. I mean, that guy was dropping dives left, right, center. I mean, he, like you said, he was conducting all the action pretty much. And that's one of the, excuse me, one of the greater single game individual tournament performances I've seen in years. I mean, what Marquise Noel did in Madison Square Garden is simply terrific for him. And I really thought that game was, it was a battle. I mean, it was a high level offensive battle. Quality wise, by far the best game of this entire tournament for me to this point. Says plays are being made all into the court. Simply a terrific kind of performance. And I certainly believe that Kansas State is going to go to the Final Four. I mean, I think FAU will give them some problems, but Kansas State, I mean, if Keontae Johnson, who had 22 last night, does what he does, if Marquise Noel even conducts the action as half as well as he did last night against FAU, I certainly think Kansas State is going to continue on this ride they've been having and have it last all the way to Houston. But I thought both teams played a phenomenal game last night. I don't think anyone has any qualms, really, that they should be displaying. I thought both Kansas State, obviously, and Michigan State also played very, very well, which is it was a high-level basketball game. And that's what you want in the second weekend of this tournament. You want high-level basketball, and that's exactly what this was.
Yeah, very much so. As Noel actually had an alley-oop pass to Keontae Johnson, which was a great ending to the game. It was fantastic. This guy has a lot of future. You say they're gonna make it to the
I think the Final Four is kind of their ceiling, especially if Alabama comes out of the other side and they play tonight. But I think Kansas State against FAU just has a few more of those guys. It's a little different. I was kind of doubting Tennessee going into the tournament. So I mean, I'm not terribly surprised they beat the Sweet 16, but I just thought Tennessee had just a few guys missing, and the way they play defense, Tennessee still played very good defense against FAU. We can talk about that more in a little bit. But I thought Tennessee's a little more susceptible to the kind of run that FAU put on them. I don't think Kansas State is as susceptible to that as Tennessee was. I think this Kansas State team, they have the pieces with Noel and Keontae Johnson and certainly some of those other pieces. I mean, Cam Carter and Naquan Tomlin are kind of seeing on the screen here also put in some really quality shift themselves. So I think that they definitely have the pieces and a few other of those guys too. I mean, Kansas State just has a lot of those guys that can put in quality shifts that I'm not sure if FAU is going to be able to contend with.
Yeah, Kansas State definitely one of the favorites. A huge basketball state, obviously, the rivals with KU and all that. All right, let's go to Vegas. Gonzaga defeated UCLA 79-76. Vegas native, a lot of natives going on here playing at their home state. Julian Strother hit a deep three in the final seconds on play, inspired by Villanova's title-winning shot in 2016 to break UCLA's heart again. What were your thoughts over this game?
That was literally the exact same play. I mean, Mark Foote even called it the Jay Wright play. I mean, the toss behind, so symbolic to the Villanova shot in Houston in 2016. So Gonzaga trying to relive some of the magic that the last Houston Final Four produced to get to this Houston Final Four. They still got one more game to go to do that. But obviously, Strother did his thing. Drew Timmy. I've seen this Gonzaga team play a few times in person at the WCC Tournament Championship and a couple of different games in Denver. Drew Timmy is one of those guys. He is inevitable. No matter what you try to do, he's going to attack. And he makes it so effortless when he does it inside. And he has that touch around the rim to where almost everything he puts up around the rim is going to go in. He just has this special touch around the rim. And it's the whole entire Gonzaga team that when they attack the basket, they make it look so effortless. I mean, it's truly phenomenal to watch this Gonzaga offense operate. And I truly love to see it work. And yeah, Drew Timmy, I mean, 36-13, my gosh, just unbelievable. UCLA hardly didn't have really a single answer for him. But I think UCLA certainly played really well. Obviously the Jaime Jaquez line you're seeing there, the 29-11 there. Marley Bailey's shot to give UCLA the lead late before Strother's shot was a really clutch moment from him. And then Tiger Campbell as well did a really good job within the course of this game as well. They definitely missed Jalen Clark, definitely missed the defense that he provided. Of course, that was going to come up at some point, came up here. I thought they did miss Adembona quite a bit. He was out last night, a really big freshman. And obviously, UCLA, they can kind of manage with Etienne and Kenneth and Wuba. They can kind of manage, but it's nothing compared to Bona. And all those guys are nothing compared to Drew Timmy. So that was always going to be a tough ask for them inside. And obviously, Drew Timmy was able to just work his magic, really. But at the end, I mean, this is just an incredible basketball game once again. I mean, it seems like Gonzaga and UCLA, they always produce these kinds of thrillers. I mean, both teams had times where they were in command, really in control. The other team was able to bring it back, especially UCLA late, to send that game into some really tense final seconds with Bailey's big shot and then Strother's winning shot. Just an all-around fantastic basketball game and very similar to the Kansas State Michigan State game. I don't think anyone can have any complaints about how the way that game ended up going, because I thought both teams played a really solid game. And
you probably recall back in 2021, Gonzaga beat the Bruins in similar fashion back in 2021, where Suggs hit a deep three at the buzzer.
Yeah. I still remember that game vividly, the Jalen Suggs shot. So, I mean, second time in 3 years that UCLA has gotten its heart broken on a big shot like that from Gonzaga. It certainly adds to it. I mean, the game last night, the Suggs shot, like you mentioned, the Adam Morrison game 17 years ago, UCLA winning that in a regional semi against Gonzaga. It just seems like whenever these two teams play each other in the tournament, three actors are going to happen. And it did disappoint.
Was UCLA the only Pac-12 team at this stage of the tournament? Or
It was.
Oh, sorry about that. You're a Pac-12 guy, I know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little surprised that the Pac-12 down at this stage. Obviously, Arizona getting upset by Princeton in the first round didn't help that at all. But Arizona State, I mean, they did about as good as they could have done against TCU. Just let that slip away in the last 5 minutes in Denver. Really the only surprise is Arizona getting knocked out first round. But, I mean, their backcourt didn't really show up as well as I would have thought against Princeton. So, I mean, another year for the Pac-12 that, I mean, obviously won in the second weekend. But the Pac-12 is going to have some very serious concerns with UCLA and USC leaving the conference soon. I don't know where it leads the conference to the national landscape. That's going to be a really tough conversation to have down the road when that reality sets in. But for right now, Pac-12 basketball still in one of those spots where it's like sixth best conference, seventh best conference in the country. And ultimately, for the way the college landscape's going, that's not good enough. And the Pac-12 is going to have to really learn. They're going to have to try and take that next step. And I don't know where that step is, especially the way the conference is getting gutted and still with no TV deal. I mean, I don't know where this goes for the conference. I really don't.
What I've heard, Apple might take over for Pac-12 coverage. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like those rumors have been flying around with Apple and some of those other partners. It's going to be all about the value. I mean, if the value's not there, I think there are teams that are ready to go. They are ready to pack up and move to a conference like the Big 12. So, again, I don't have any intel on that myself, but it just feels like the conference is on the edge of an absolute implosion as far as if the conference can't deliver the value that its member institutions want in the next media deal, people are going to leave. That's going to be reality. And there's so much pressure on that side of it right now. And certainly I hope something comes soon for the conference. Then we can actually have those clear line discussions over, is this enough? Could kind of end the speculation side of it and get into another stage of speculation, but it's an interesting time for the conference. And in its form after USC and UCLA departs, it's not in a good spot. It just isn't.
Yeah. Pac-12 definitely needs to find a, solution because they are breaking up a little bit. Let's go into the other game of the day yesterday. FAU defeating Tennessee 62-55. As Nick was saying before, he loves FAU. They became the fourth team, Nick, since the field expanded in 85 to reach the Elite Eight after entering the year with no tourney wins, joining Gonzaga, George Mason, and St. Peter. Your thoughts over this matchup and FAU itself?
Yeah, I mean, I really thought that first half, Tennessee controlled that game. Again, FAU hung around. And if there is one thing that you cannot do in the month of March, it's let teams hang around. What's going to happen is exactly what happened in New York. FAU, they got a big run. Tennessee didn't have much of a response. And by the time the response came, it was far too late for them to really do anything about it. I mean, it was a 10-0 run and then an 8-0 run. FAU had up to as much as 10. I mean, you're talking about an 18-2 stretch within the course of a six-minute span, I should say, just shy of 6 minutes. And that was pretty much it. I mean, Tennessee didn't really have much of a response. It just came down to FAU making a bunch of free throws after that. But I just love the FAU story. I mean, like you mentioned, the program came in with no tournament wins. They hadn't been to the tournament in 21 years, I think the exact number is. And yet all of these players, a lot of them have experience. You know, this is a team that it's so rare in college basketball nowadays to see this, but its core was intact, completely intact. I mean, I don't know if any of those guys had left. And it's truly unreal to see this team excel. And it's a lot of sophomores. There's a few juniors in here as well, but there's a lot of players in here that within this team that were around last year, a lot of them were. And they've all collectively taken this massive step up to be one of the best teams in the entire country. I mean, it is truly one of the most remarkable coaching jobs of the year, period. What Dusty May has done deserves a power conference job. I mean, for him. I mean, that's the reality of it. I think some power conference team is going to hire Dusty May when FAU is eventually out of this whole tournament, which I think could come as soon as Saturday night. But it's a terrific story. This is why March Madness is beloved. This is why I love college basketball the entire year. I mean, teams like FAU, I mean, it only happens within this sport. I mean, there's a reason.
Yeah, this cannot be done in football.
it really isn't. And I'll tell you this, I mean, Conference USA as a whole is having a fantastic time. UAB and North Texas are both in the NIT semifinals. Charlotte won the CBI championship, and all four of these teams are eventually going to go to the American after this season. So it's going to be fascinating to see how this all plays out. But I mean, Conference USA, for all four of these members at least, having these four teams in their conference, kind of a swan song kind of thing. I don't know how often this will happen for Conference USA again after the realignment shakes up its entire conference again. But if you're an executive of the AAC, you're loving this to be able to have all four of those schools in your conference next season.
Pretty exciting times for college basketball and also college sports. Let's go to the other game, UConn defeating Arkansas 88-65. The Huskies are back in the Elite Eight for the first time since 2014, before Nick was born. The last two times they got there, they won the national championship. Is this a real deal, UConn?
It is. And honestly, this was a game that I didn't really pay attention much to because this is a blowout from nearly start to finish. UConn completely commanded this game. What Hawkins did, Jordan Hawkins, he had 24 points. He was pretty darn efficient from the field. Adama Sinogo, he was even more efficient with 18 points and 8 boards. He's going to give, I think, some problems to Drew Timmy in the regional semifinal on Saturday. I think he'll give some big problems in that his physical presence is just, it's really there. I mean, I love his physical presence. He could dive and clink in some minutes. He had 5 points and 4 boards within 13 minutes. He is also another one of those guys that's a big physical presence inside. I mean, I just love a lot of what this UConn team is. It's a really efficient team, They love to do it to non-conference opponents. I mean, they had a rougher time of things within the Big East Conference slate. But I think some projected after they just ran through their non-conference slate. But that's the thing. They do this to non-conference teams. I mean, way back in November, December, I mean, they were crushing teams. I mean, this is the UConn team that crushed Alabama by 15 points on a neutral court in late November in an MTE in Portland. I mean, this is a really special group of guys. I mean, just a really efficient offense that loves to rebound the ball. And I think Gonzaga might end up having some problems with that UConn team. Man, I really like what that team is.
Yeah, UConn definitely has history in both men's and women's. So they got a history in this tournament. We'll see what they do. And we'll see who Knicks picks at the final towards the end of the show, obviously. Let's go in today. A slew of games as well. Alabama, number one, still in it against San Diego State University. Your thoughts, what's going to happen in that matchup?
I think Alabama is the better team here. I just think that the Crimson Tide has a few more things that the Aztecs don't, but I would be very careful because, I mean, I wouldn't rule out this being a thriller down the stretch. SDSU's defense is really good analytically, especially at defending the three. They have some really good players in their backcourt of Matt Bradley and Lamont Butler. Those two in particular are really good players to watch. This is going to be an exciting backcourt battle, I think. And I want to rule the Aztecs out. They have a lot of experience in that defense, as I mentioned before. But Alabama just has a few more pieces. They have, I think, a better star power in Brandon Miller. They have, you know, guys like Mark Sears and Jaden Bradley who provide some really good role minutes. And Javon Quinterly, I was in those two mentioned are starters. Javon Quinterly's also been coming up, and he's played some really good basketball himself as well, like he was when he was a star last year for this Alabama team. So this Bama team really has the whole package, and I think it is going to be a close game. I mean, I really do. KenPom metrics have this being around a six-point game or so. I think it might be a little less than that. I think SDSU will make this a really interesting game. But at the end of the day, I think Alabama just has the complete package. And I think they should be able to win that game.
Alabama has it not as easy as Knicks thinks. It might, you know, might go down the stretch. We'll see what happens. They're a football school. They're making some inroads in basketball right now. We'll see where this history goes. Number one, Houston against number five, Miami. Everyone's saying Houston's a favorite. Nick, are you thinking otherwise, or you're saying everyone's saying Houston is the favorite for this matchup?
No, I'm saying the same thing as well. I think for Miami, its defense, at least analytically, is just way too weak to go up against this Houston team that has some absolute studs. But that being said, I mean, Miami has the backcourt. I mean, Isaiah Long and Nigel Pack are both fantastic players. Norchad Omier has proven himself to be a really good big in that inside. Hasn't made the biggest contributions, but he's been really good at the boards. I mean, 17 rebounds against Indiana. I mean, that is no joke. They had 14 against Drake. So just a really solid rebounding performance. He will be inside. I think he will be able to do his thing, but Houston just has too many more of those guys. Marcus Sasser, Jamar Shedd, where this all starts, their backcourt, I think even better than Miami. But Tremont Mark is also a really talented player. I think he, if he stays at Houston, will kind of take the role of Marcus Sasser next year and be the star as Houston enters the Big 12 next season. Jarris Walker, he's a really, really talented freshman. And they have some guys below that can provide some really good stuff as well. So I definitely think Houston wins this. KenPom has this at about an 8-point game within their analytical projections. I think that's about right, actually. I think Houston finds a way. They may end up winning this thing going away, in my opinion. I think Miami will give Houston the business for a while, but I think Houston will just kind of run away from it and move on.
Jim Larranaga, coach of Miami Hurricanes, your thoughts? He's been having a great season. You know, obviously people say he's old and everything, but your thoughts over his incredible season with Miami?
He is one of the ultimate tournament coaches. I know you mentioned the George Mason team before that 2006 run. He was the coach of George Mason during that run. And once he got to Miami, I mean, this is his fourth time getting to the second weekend with Miami Hurricanes. And this comes a year after he took a 10-seed Miami team to the Elite Eights. And so this is kind of what he does. I mean, he takes really good teams and he kind of really does his magic with them. And it's only come up as of late. I mean, he had a few down years with Miami, but he's kind of brought this program back, and two consecutive second weekend appearances. I mean, you're not going to see anyone complain about that. And it's kind of what Jim Larranaga does, going back again to those George Mason days, just get some really good teams, finds a way, and then get some playing some good basketball. So I like this Miami team. I like Jim Larranaga. I just don't think it'll be enough tonight.
Yeah, not enough to beat Houston. Let's go for number 6, Creighton versus number 15, Princeton, who's had a good run so far in this tournament. Alan West from the Top 25 Rundown says Creighton will probably be Princeton. Nick, what are you thinking?
I'll take the probably and turn it into a will. I think this Creighton team, I got a chance to see this team play twice in Denver. In Denver. Against NC State and then against Baylor. And the way they play against Baylor in particular is a team I think most people thought they would be going into the season. They had a little bit of a lull in December, caught Arizona State and Las Vegas kind of at a wrong time, in my opinion, with Ryan Kalkbrenner being out in December. But this team, when fully healthy, is a machine. I mean, they have so many guys that you just don't know who's going to show up on a given night. Nebhard was the guy against Baylor. And then I think it was Kalkbrenner against NC State. It could be Baylor Shireman tonight. I mean, it could be Trey Alexander or Arthur Kaluma tonight. And then they'll all still have good days. But it seems like one of them will have an exceptional day. And I think you'll see that happen again. If I had a guess, it'll probably be just a big combination of guys. I think you'll see multiple guys have 20-plus point games. And I certainly think for Princeton, they've had a phenomenal run. I mean, it's almost becoming commonplace. Third straight year we've seen this 15 in the Sweet 16. I don't know if you would have told anybody that 5 years ago and gotten a rational reaction. I thought people would have said you were nuts. But again, it's just something we've seen as of late, and it's just unreal. But some of these guys for Princeton, they are experienced. They have the senior leadership. But at the end of the day, I think Creighton is a much better team here. They have the backcourt skills. They have a really good frontcourt with Brian Kalkbrenner manning it. And I do think that Creighton will win this game pretty easily.
Wow. Handily. No overtime. No, or no double overtime.
No. None of that.
All right. A little bit of closer seeds. Number 3, Xavier versus number 2, Texas. Probably the closest game all day. Your thoughts over this matchup?
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards that. Again, like I mentioned, I think SC-Alabama can be a really tight game in and of itself. But I think this game does, too, provide a lot of really good intrigue. I mean, you have this Xavier team with still Jack Nungy. They haven't had Zach Freemantle for a while, but Jack Nungy's still there. He's really good. Colby Jones, Sully Baum, Adam Kunkel, Jerome Hunter. It's a heavy senior, junior core, but it's not a deep core. I mean, they're only playing 6 deep. Maybe a 7th man comes in at their best. So for Texas, you get this Longhorn team who can run a little bit at above average tempo as far as pace is concerned compared to the rest of the country. They also have a bunch of senior leadership with Marcus Carr and Timmy Allen and Serge Barrier Rice. They have those guys as well. And I do think Texas wins a close one here on that ability. If they can tire out a pretty thin Xavier team from a depth perspective, I think they'll find a way to win this thing.
Well, there you have it. Nick did not pick any upsets for these predictions today.
No. And it kind of goes, I certainly think that all four of the favorites today have their distinct advantages. For particularly the first three games we talked about, I think Xavier Tech is a bit of a closer battle on paper. But I think Alabama has their distinct advantages over San Diego State, though. Again, I think that could be a closer game than some may think. Houston has this distinct advantage over Miami on that defensive side of the ball. And Creighton has that distinct advantage with everyone can do it. Princeton, the Cinderella darling, I don't know if they face a team like Creighton to where you have five awesome weapons on the floor at the same time in the starting lineup. Again, for a team, we put out a starting five, you would like to have five great scoring options and efficient options on the floor. But Creighton actually has that, in my opinion. It's a really good Creighton team. So kind of lends itself to a bit of a more chalkier day, in my opinion. But again, it is the NCAA tournament. Wouldn't be surprised if something crazy happened.
Of course, that's why they call it March Madness. Okay, as of right, as we have see right now, a couple of wins yesterday and today some games. Which is your clear favorite? I know you're probably your favorite from the beginning was probably knocked out. Who knows? But as of right now, who do you think will win the tournament?
I'm still riding on Houston. I've had Houston from the jump when this tournament started. I just think it's Houston and Alabama for me are the ones to get to the final. Pardon me again. To get to that national championship stage. I think for Houston against either Gonzaga or UConn will certainly be a really hard game. And a possible matchup with Texas will be a really hard game. But I think Houston has just enough. And I think all those situations, I mean, I'm a little worried about that pick for me. Again, Alabama's a phenomenal team. Houston's got a pretty tough grind to get to the national championship, especially compared to Alabama, just looking at an analytical perspective. San Diego State and then possibly Creighton, and then you're looking at either FAU or Kansas State. I mean, just analytically, Houston has that much tougher road to the national championship. But both of these teams have been two of my favorites for a long time. And Purdue's been in that category for a while before they got knocked out. Saw Kansas go in that category for a bit before they got knocked out throughout the regular season. But Houston, Alabama kind of has always been within that top pedestal of the sport for me. And I think they have their great defenses, really good offenses. And I think those are the two teams that if they got to the national championship stage, they would be the most deserving two teams, in my opinion, to get to the national championship this season. And then from there, whether it is Alabama or my pick Houston, it's going to be a really fun battle.
New names, definitely some new teams, you know, like the usuals, like the UConns are not around as much or, you know, whatever, but we'll see what happens. Pretty excited about this tournament is has so much hype. Nick, which player has surprised you the most?
That's a good one. I think for me, obviously talking a lot of recent stuff here with the performance of a guy like Marquise Noel, the talk of that Kansas State team deservedly so was Keontae Johnson. His incredible story of coming back from his really tragic scenes of Florida, having to collapse on the court, working his way back, providing as good of a year as he has had. He's been tremendous. And I don't think Marquise Noel is necessarily a huge surprise because he's done this. I mean, he has 14 assists in the first round against Montana State. I mean, I just think that the extent to what he has done it is just unreal. I mean, he has been so consistent through this tournament and this entire season. So really it's no surprise instead of see him really pop off, but I mean, to see have him be the March legend, I think it's a really good success story. And I think it kind of stems back to the coach of Jerome Tang getting the opportunity this year at Kansas State after being an assistant at Baylor for so long under Scott Drew. Jerome Tang's a darn good coach. I mean, he has really taken his Kansas State program to just incredible heights this year. And surely if he beats FAU, gets to the Final Four, you're talking about for this Kansas State program converting on the eighth opportunity to get back to the Final Four for the first time since the 60s. And again, some of those opportunities predate even the 32 team. And obviously the 64, 65, 68 team era within this tournament. But for Kansas State, they are dying for this. And this is as good of an opportunity as they're going to get back to the Final Four for the first time since 1964. I think it's an incredible accomplishment. And Kansas State's not going anywhere, if I had to imagine. With the way that the Big 12 likes to invest in its basketball programs, Kansas State should give Jerome Tang a deserving long-term extension and invest in him. He deserves it. And if Jerome Tang's not going to get that investment in Kansas State, maybe he'll stay there for a few more years before another elite job comes calling for him. But Jerome Tang's a darn good coach. And he has taken this team to just great heights.
There you have it. Looking at the best players, the best teams, the best coaches, seeing history throughout this tournament for the past, who knows, 50 years or so. Pretty excited what's going to happen. Maybe a new champion this year. Nick, what is the best way to reach you online and also about your show?
Yeah, so again, you can reach me on my Twitter at Hodel Sports. That is H-O-D-E-L-L Sports. Again, the College Basketball Bonanza. It's been an interesting one the last few weeks as different stuff like spring break has sort of happened and we've kind of hit really kind of hard. We love the conference tournaments, but again, we'll be back on the air Sunday. You could catch that live over at blazereadyonline.com, 7 p.m. Arizona time. That's 10 p.m. Eastern now. Arizona does not switch their clocks here like everyone else. So when everyone else switches their clocks, Arizona Central goes from Mountain to Pacific time. So there's that for you. Again, you can search College Basketball Bonanza, your preferred podcast platforms to catch any of our previous episodes. And again, on our Twitter at College Bonanza, you'll be able to see a good little archive of some of our other live episodes we've done throughout this month of March. But one other thing I'll say before we go, please watch the women's tournament. I mean, this has been the surprising women's tournament in years. I mean, 2-1 seeds are not even playing this week. I mean, that's a surprise. The upsets of Stanford and Indiana, I mean, that really caught my attention.
Quite surprising.
Yeah. And one of the big things that I've had against the women's game, no offense to the incredible athletes in the women's game, but one of the big things I've had is that there's not a ton of parity in the sport. I mean, you always see like the same few programs up there. That's like changing. I mean, March Madness has absolutely come to the women's game, and it's tremendous. So, I will absolutely be paying attention here and there to some of those games, and I encourage everyone else watching this to also do the same because that tournament is getting to the level of the men's tournament, and it's really exciting to see that transformation.
Yeah, as Victor said yesterday, women's basketball is more of a team sport. So you see a lot of motion and things like that, but definitely catch. I've been hearing some good things about it. Anyways, you can reach us at thesportscast.net, also with the Sportscast One on Twitter. And you could follow us along this weekend on Twitter. What's going to happen in college basketball throughout the weekend. A lot of things are coming down to a close, to a conclusion. And check out Nick from Arizona State University, the home of Walter Cronkite School of Journalism. And that's why Nick's so good, because he's getting trained by the best. They're not paying me to say that, but just want to point that out. Nick, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Yeah, thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
And this was your update.